Thank you very much, Joan. Wow, I get the greatest introductions when I come here. And thank you, everyone who has stuck it out and still has a couple neurons left that can actually, you know, pay attention to poetry. We're going to get this show on the road. That's the best thing to do. And so I have six poems. No, wait, five poems, six pages. Who's counting? Five poems, six pages. So I might skip one, I might skip two. We'll see how it goes here. And a lot of poems get written like in airplanes and airports on the way between here and there, and I guess probably a lot of songs too. And this is because you're always on the way to somewhere when you're in an airport, which is, you know, that's like metaphorical. And this is called Flight to Pittsburgh. And I always like to think, I like the word flight, you know, like an airplane flight, because it also means like you're either running from something maybe that you're afraid of, or something or somebody that's trying to catch up with you or something like that. So, okay, we're in the airplane. This film will shock and leave you at the precipice of trauma. Feeling real adult sorrow is what the cabin attendant isn't going to say about the latest romantic comedy, though it entertains me to think so. Thought, at this altitude, breaking free of restraint like a girl named Sarah in her favorite purple pajama pants takes off skipping down the airport corridor the wrong way, her father calling, "Sarah, this way, Sarah, we go this way." She stops to look back and becomes Renoir's girl with a watering can. A face like that, joyful, bemused at the strangeness of fathers, more beautiful than anyone I've lost and run after in the confused rain of adult sorrow. Gate A11, flight 1118. We go where we have to, past the last snack stand, where chocolate-covered peanut butter in orange wrappers calls more seductively of earthly pleasure at this moment than any siren song. I imagine the pilot's hand on the throttle, how it listens for the shimmy of liftoff, as it must be when mallard wings feel upriver wind underneath and let go of the urge to flap, and it gets easy to fly over Texarkana and Memphis, higher than clouds, unbounded as thought that roams like a child at play, too soon to be called home. And this is called Oh Brother. So I'm thinking of Jimmy partly when I read this, especially here, and Joan always, maybe so far anyway, it's been 9 years. Thank you for mentioning that rally, but big thanks to Jim, who was huge support when we did that. And this is called Oh Brother, About My Brother. What's he doing right now, this moment? Asked my lover, lately orphaned like me. Conversation taking long dips in the gene pool. Half forgotten cousins, kind uncles, long gone. How we begin the same place and drive off with a wave toward the future that becomes a life, like my brother, who this moment could be trudging the worn mud path to his trailer parked behind the barn at Abe and Mary's farm near Brush Mountain off the road west from Rebersburg. February, half numb to the lift of each step, clodhoppers laced loosely to his calves, meaning not the wobbly-legged Guernseys in the milking stalls, unformed creatures drawing life from their mama's udders. No, his tough as cowhide, Harley-hugging calves, roaring through the Arizona desert, miles and miles, for the pleasure of sniping at rattlesnakes with an M16. My brother, who survived Vietnam, meaning alive, though he can't hold a 9-to-5 job without telling some boss where to shove it, can't love without rage, alive with not knowing of how many Asian corpses, what quantity of death left behind, the business end of lead rained down through torrid air, torch-hot lead from the air-cooled barrel of a 50-caliber gun he triggered, chief of an army chopper swooping in low over jungle canopy. My brother, who has a muddy sort of awareness, can any of us say more for ourselves? How his life was fucked by history, or whatever you want to call this shithole business, that not only happens, it happened to my brother. Thank you very much. And so I recently had a birthday, we're not going to count, but I'm here to say I'm still writing love poems, but you know, they're like sort of love poems. We'll see. Okay, thanks. This is called Undercover. Unforgettable, her bottom draped in a cotton nightie, undulant promise of love and abundance, Hebraic raven hair unfurled, unsprung, fleecy, slippered, she shuffles into the room of our life together, which needs more than a scrape and paint job, more than to be replastered. Our revels have unraveled, she says. She didn't really put it that way. Our fun's all done. Chicken Little says, the sky is falling, and it is. 98.7% of me, that's chimpanzee, howling inside with hurt, while the robust gorilla man of me dons his mask of 1,000 romances. Oh, Captain, my Captain Kangaroo, why doesn't she draw from the pocket of her Serengeti jacket a faintly green, voluptuous banana of gladness and say, ooh. To uproot ourselves as if plucking from its stem a grape at fullest blush. Gently now, the Cold War is endless, has no heroes, not even Kalashnikov, whose name means rifle that never jams. Meanwhile, the right to bear arms and other nakedness will never die, sing the Supremes in the background, 9 of them, black-robed on high, declaring corporate entities are just like you and me, people, people. One night in August, a slow-moving meteor slashed a chariot of fire across the sky right before our eyes closed. Did we really see that? All right, this one is a two. Thank you. This one's called Trips, and it, I've never read this one out loud and before a group, for whatever that's worth. But anyway, advance warning, it's a little bit of a roller coaster ride, so anyway. Thoughts of Betty Davis here. Trips. Turkish prison, 8 years of it, says Mark, and conversation stops. Until Judy says, people protected by angels. And then Camille, her list of jobs, which includes dominatrix and squeeze boxing with a bandolian for Sue, a street corner in Paris. A bone marrow transplant, says Nancy, who survived leukemia and dreams of her surgeon, his resemblance to Klaus Kinski in Aguirre, The Wrath of God. I show them Whitman, the 1854 daguerreotype, back from Hades, eyes back in Brooklyn from New Orleans, voodoo, loins of a continent, declaring himself himself, a cosmos, a drowning man. And I think of a starry-eyed young man in his Chevy, blonde cheerleader bride, rainy day after the wedding, spinning across the center line, ass backward, heave-ho up and flying over a guardrail, past oblivion into the pure calm of helplessness, God damn it, trickle of water from a drainage pipe splattering the trunk lid, realizing he's alive and she's alive beside him in the same seatbelt, watching her give birth 10 years later to his daughter, watching his daughter grow nourished in music, her first real job, a breadbox apartment, New York City. Life's like that, a trip. Blink, you miss the up and downbeat of it. Women with penises, men with breasts, people who like to say, get over it. Stardust, what we're made of, and Hoagie Carmichael's tune. Louis Armstrong and his orchestra playing it like an army on march across the ceiling of the night while stars shed light like tears that say relentlessly, not enough time. And the tears splash our tongues like a drumbeat that says, nothing matters now. She and I, like a house on fire. I wish you loved me more than you do, she said, then wept almost silently in my arms while I had nothing to say. And two more poems here. This one's for a high school, school classmate of mine named Jessie. And she died 3 years ago. And it's called Learning to Slow Dance. When I hold a woman on the dance floor or in the kitchen with my sweetheart swaying to the Beach Boys, God only knows. Jessie, how it comes back that night, fit to each other like torn edges of continents rejoined, you and I oozed across the gym floor, lights dimmed to moon glow, velvet throb of Bobby Vinton's tenor, your dress, I remember, was blue and shiny. Jessie, I think it was made of glue, your soft places pressed close enough to simmer and fry me. My leg, how did it arrive there? Tropical valley of your thighs. Dream on, said your eyes, also blue, less innocent than I knew how to understand. Why does music end, my befuddled crush? Words played hide and seek. Now Ollie Infree show themselves too late for you. About time, you said, you learned how to slow dance. Raw and teenaged, rock and rolled, pungent as a scallion, I was never more alive. Thank you. And we're going to close here with my favorite cereals. Oatmeal, of course, glutinous, warm, glove of it, and cornflakes, crumpled chunks of sunshine, each spoonful savored like a long, slow step down the path to a meadow where a mighty tree, the grape nuts tree, stands, the place we gather at dawn to play the grape nuts game. One crunchy letter disappearing with each bite, grape nuts becoming rape nuts. My brothers and I chuckling since we're children and know only that this is bad to say out loud, a defiant delight, then ape nuts, grunty sounds and underarm scratching until we come to peanuts and say, pee-pee nuts and chortle like chiclets. So much fun with cereal. No wonder people become cereal killers, we might have said, and nearly wet ourselves laughing at the bullet holes in Cheerios and puffed rice shot from guns, except we were kids in 1950s Holsteinville, Pennsylvania. Those mornings I'd descend to the stairwell bottom, gather myself and emerge into my own radiant life, where Mom says, eat your breakfast, and snap, crackle, and pop, the Rice Krispie boys are there like my personal cheerleading squad, forming a human pyramid in my own green glazed ceramic cereal bowl, hands clapping for me, lucky me, wanting me to have the kind of day, bright and breezy, all those families on TV were showing me how to have all these years, and still I don't know how to do that. But cereal, oh, happy days of cereal and mother buttered toast with cinnamon, and out the door you go. Thank you.